Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek, and you are. We're coming from Lexington, Kentucky.
You get confused, honey. It's Monday.
ADD. I couldn't even get five words out.
I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 7th, 2011, episode 266, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, horse people.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
Time to ride. Time to ride. It's time to ride.
But it's still Monday.
Time to ride. Time to ride. It's time to ride. Ooh, yeah.
It may be Monday, but to someone like me that lives in the state of Arizona, that does a radio show really early in the morning with somebody that lives on the East Coast, it is a glorious Monday morning to me. It is just spectacularly glorious here, and I'll tell you why. Because did you guys have daylight savings time?
Yes, we did, which I guess means that you're in the one, like, you're an anomaly in the country, aren't you? You're in this little
yes.
This little group of people who don't celebrate with us.
You know, we get enough sun here, by the way. It's all the time here. I live in the land of the sun in the desert where things bake you. And, you know, why? Really, I'm from Georgia. I'm from Atlanta. I'm used to the time change thing. You know, I'd rather have it stay daylight longer. We live in this small world where it gets dark earlier every day of the year. But you know what? I don't care anymore. I celebrate it because for two reasons. Number one, I can now call my mother after Dancing with the Stars because there's only a two-hour time difference as opposed to a three-hour time difference. And now
the priorities in life.
Now I won't have to wait for 3 hours to watch Derek dance. I only have to wait 2 hours. So there's that, and there's also this radio show, because my friends, it is currently 7:03 in the morning here in Phoenix, Arizona, not 6:03, and I did not have to get up at 4:50. I got up at 5:50, so I got an extra hour of sleep, while the rest of you also got an extra hour of sleep, but now it's going to get dark earlier. So I'm celebrating daylight savings time.
You were much happier in the pre-show meeting today, I must say.
I was awake. This whole thing really improves my marriage, and I'll tell you why. Because I am not going to be going to bed at 7:30 at 8 o'clock every night. Now I can stay up to a whopping 9:30, which is going to be a lot nicer.
Only horse people can appreciate what you just said, too.
Oh, I love it. It's going to be awesome. I'm
you know,
super
us guys that marry into the horse thing, we were used to going to bed at 11, 12 o'clock. We'd watch the start the late show and all that stuff. And then you marry a horsewoman and you find yourself going to bed at 9 o'clock, too.
Yep, exactly. And I'm sure that, you know, when I do fall asleep during dinner or moments right after dinner, he probably doesn't think that he's honestly going to get very lucky that night. And it's true, because I am asleep after dinner every night. So the fact that I will be not having to take a nap in the afternoon, I will be fully awake from 6 a.m. all the way until at least 9 o'clock at night. It's a marriage saver, I'm telling you.
And then Robert Dunn, good morning, Robert, says he's listening. And he says there's a part of Indiana that does not observe the time change, too. So apparently there are two people that do not participate in the time continuum.
In Hawaii.
That we do. And
Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool. You're in good company there. Well, with Jennifer, we have a packed show today. There's so much that happened over the weekend that we just better get to it. Jennifer's going to tell us what's coming up, and we just have a lot to talk about.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, adventures, assertions, and anecdotes. First up, assertions. Our favorite scientist, Dr. Gordon Chang, is here to sort out the assertions from the actual facts about two common but often confusing supplement ingredients, glucosamines and chondroitin. And after a brief abeyance where Glenn and Jamie will thrill the world with details of their respective weekend adventures, Horse Junkie United blogger Kira McCurdo brings us the Canadian perspective on the recent and tragic passing of the great show jumper Hickstead.
And there you go. We'll get into that because, my God, it's just going to be, you know, some things happened over the weekend that are going to make it a little difficult later on in the show, and definitely that's one of them, and I have another one. So we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later. We got to keep it positive right now. We got to keep it happy, and we got to do a little bit of a daily Winnie. So, Glenn,
all right.
Are you back?
I am. My daily Winnie goes out to, I got to go, it goes out to the organizers of the National Horse Show over the weekend because they did a great job. The thing ran very smoothly. It was a good show. I think it's going to grow. The numbers, I'm sure, were not what they expected as far as the audience is concerned. But, boy, they had a ton of riders there. The Metal McClay yesterday had 200 entries. Jennifer sat through a lot of it, too. I couldn't do it. If I had seen another jumping round over the weekend, I was going to just, like, shoot myself. You know my ADD and everything. So, but it was a good show. It was well run, well done. They treated us press very nicely. They had food for us every day. It was a first-class act, and my hat goes off to them. They did a wonderful job. Alltech and the horse show organizers and the Kentucky Horse Park all went out of their way to make everybody feel comfortable and happy at that show. So that's my daily winning goes out to them for the weekend. And now it's your turn.
Now, obviously, we're going to get into the Breeders' Cup stuff, and we're both avoiding it because we have a whole lot of coverage coming on later in the show. But for now, I would like to take a trip out west to Galway Downs. Galway, where I should have been competing this weekend, but all of you jerk-faced listeners told me not to go, to go to my grandmother-in-law's 90th birthday party, which is next weekend, because, you know, budgeting would only allow for one. And all you idiots told me to don't go to Galway Downs, go to the birthday party. So I'm doing that next weekend while I watched some amazing eventing this past weekend online. And I would like to send my daily Winnie out to, yes, none other than my coach, Barbara Crabo. Let's see, on Ever Ready, her advanced horse, she rode the 3-star, by the way. She is still qualified for Rolex in spring, so hopefully we'll all be there. Barb Crabo and Ever Ready, 10th after dressage, beat Buck Davidson, beat everybody to finish 3rd place in the CCI 3-star on her horse Ever Ready. And then she also did a 3-day event, the CCI 1-star long format, that's the steeplechase, everything, on her horse Over Easy, and won it, baby!
Yay, wow, Barb! That's great!
Fantastic job. Fantastic. I mean, to go to Galway Downs where, like, I mean, East Coasters fly their horses out there. It's such a huge event. There was, like, 6 novice divisions and then 100 people on the waiting list. I mean, it was insanity trying to get in to ride in that. And then they had the best horses. All Buck Davidson string with titanium was there. She beat them all. She's just amazing. Good for her. Way to go, Barb. I'll be back for
good
less.
Good job,
Mike.
Yeah. You have a good coach. You picked right, I think.
I think I did. I think yeah. She's awesome. And granted, maybe she does yell at me quite a bit, and tells me that, you know, there's a lot of stuff to work on, and if I hear shorten my reins one more time, I'm going to freak out. But she does it right, so maybe I should listen. Shorten my
Maybe I should yell at you more. Maybe that's the trick. I got to call Barb. We need to have a heart-to-heart. Hello? I think we lost Jamie right as I said that. Well, let's talk
about
really...
She hung
up on
you, Glenn. That's what it is. She hung up on you.
Funny. That was perfect timing there, boy. Hey, really bad ads this week. We are kicking it up a notch this week. If you've never sent in an ad before, you're going to want to this week for really bad ads on Friday at 10 o'clock. Because the winner this week is going to win a Fleeceworks saddle pad. For an English or Western saddle, your choice of saddle pad and size, this is up to $160 value. So just in time for the holidays, a Fleeceworks seat saver for your bum, 100% Australian merino wool. Nothing compares to Fleeceworks quality. You can actually feel the difference, and you can. I know that Jamie and Jennifer both sit on Fleeceworks. They both sit on Fleeceworks seats. Are you still on yours right now, Jennifer?
No, I'm not on my ball. And my Fleecework fleece covers my ball. So right now I'm on a cheap, nasty Staples office store chair.
Okay.
Well, my office store chair is covered with Fleeceworks right now, so I'm wrapped up in that puppy.
Yeah.
Oh, good. But welcome back, by the way. And, you know, nothing compares to that. You can find them at fleeceworks.com. And don't forget to like them on Facebook, where you'll hear about all their upcoming promotions and stuff. Just search for Fleeceworks. Thank you so much to Fleeceworks. We're going to try and kick it up a notch over the next 2 months during the holiday season with some really, really good giveaways here for really bad ads. So take a look at that out there, $160 value this week. Get your ads in. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line. Well, let's talk Breeders' Cup first. We had a lot to talk about from our weekend, too, the National Horse Show. We went out to Lane's End for the open house, you'll be happy to know. Got to meet some famous horses out there and had a wonderful time. So we'll talk about that,
slow
too.
Down.
But let's talk.
Hold up. Take a breath. You are going so fast right now, I can hardly follow you. You've had too much
coffee. I got a lot to talk about, Jamie. Don't hold me back.
Sorry. First of all, Breeders' Cup, I've got to give it to you, Glenn, because, my God, you were the only one between Jennifer and I who actually picked a horse that actually won a race, and that was Caleb's Posse.
Yay!
Congratulations.
I win.
Now, we did tell everybody, definitely don't bet on our picks, because by no means were Jennifer and I qualified to actually pick winners, because we know that we like horses for emotional reasons, or because of their names, or because they look like dressage horses and jumpers, not race horses. So we told you that ahead of time. Hopefully you did not make any picks, according to Jennifer and mine. Yeah, we suck, definitely. But Glenn, you are the only one. Congratulations.
To pick a winner, I think. But the Mig did pretty well. He, you know, when the Mig was on with us last week, he talked about some picks that I think he got. He picked my Miss Aurelia, I think.
Here, I told
and he got
him,
that one.
Remember when I said, Mig, give me a lock. I asked both the guys, I said, give me a lock bet. Like, definitely, this horse is definitely going to win. And, of course, they were both like, well, as close as you can get to a lock, you can't really lock one in. But and then the Mig says, how about a horse named My Miss Aurelia and flat Royal Delta? And then he goes on to say afterwards, he goes, watch out for the horse Drosselmeyer, Mike Smith's horse. So definitely that's three horses right there. Pick, pick, pick. Win, win, win. I'm going to start betting with that guy.
Yeah. He knows a lot more than we do. Hey, I have. Why don't we just start with the classic and get it over with? What do you think?
Do it. Play
yeah.
it.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. I have a little bit of the race from the classic from the weekend, and here's part of it.
There's a roar from the crowd. They're on their way in the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Game on, Dude got a flyer. But on the outside, Uncle Mo's right up alongside. So Game on, Dude and Uncle Mo go on to lead them early on the extreme outside to Honor and Serve is right there. Stay Thirsty's tucking in right behind him. So You Think got a beautiful spot down on the inside. He's keen to go on. He's pulling hard as So You Think. A length and a half off the leaders. Into the turn they go. Game on, Dude, taken on by Uncle Mo. Uncle Mo goes looking for the lead to Honor and Serve. Makes it three in a line.
Game on, dude. Battles back at the rail. Uncle Mo's right there on the far side to honor and serve. So You Think, crying out for room. So You Think could be dangerous. Can he get through? He's in the fourth spot. Have Raider Grace making her run on the outside. Homeward bound in the classic. Game on, dude. So You Think gets a run on the inside. Uncle Mo's right there to honor and serve in the red cap on the outside. Stay thirsty. Have Raider Grace tries to get involved late. But Game on, dude, is just battling them all off. Game on, dude, has the lead. Yes, Drosselmeyer out of the clouds. Drosselmeyer from nowhere. And Drosselmeyer and Mike Smith have beaten Chantel Sutherland on Game on, dude. Ruler on Ice finishes third, and Hub Raider Grace was fourth. What a finish to the classic. It looked like Game On, dude, have it. But Mike Smith had other ideas, and Drosselmeyer, like a ghost on the outside in those white colors, caught Game On, dude, close home. Drosselmeyer wins.
Oh, my God. I mean, just listening back to that call, you realize that there was that Drosselmeyer was nowhere. And much like, you know, there's so many things to think about with this race, and I'll just break them down super quick here. You've got Mike Smith winning. Okay, I'm still pretty pissed at him about last year because I feel like he did not move Zenyatta at the right time. But then he comes on after the race, and he's like, you know, this doesn't make up for last year. I'm still, you know, kicking myself about that, and I still feel bad about that, and I think about it all the time. So he was still going on about how upset he was about last year. So I got to give him a little bit of that because, like, Chad's like, you can't be mad at him anymore. He knows what he did was wrong. He's like, you can't be mad. He's talking about it after he wins a race. He wins this classic and talks about screwing up last year. So you got to give him a little credit there. He beats his ex-girlfriend, who you love, Glenn. I mean,
and
I
want to clarify that I had, yeah, she had this thing won. I had Game On Dude picked for third in that race in my trifecta. So I did have Game On Dude in that top three.
Yeah.
But it was only because Chantel's cute. It was only because Chantel's cute. It had nothing to do with the
horse. Exactly. So then let's take a look at Uncle Mo in this race. Uncle Mo, I told you.
Well, before you go on, I have a special message for you from Alan over at the Western Radio Show, who called specifically to leave me a voicemail last night, and he said, this is for Jamie. Did Jamie hear that they're thinking about renaming Uncle Mo to Uncle Slow? Just a message now.
Oh, he's so funny. I got to agree with him, though, because here's where I get mad at Mike Rapoli, the owner, and all the, you remember, I told you Uncle Mo posted on his Facebook page, should I do the mile or the classic? And I got on his Facebook page and I said, Mo, listen, because we're friends and we can talk like that. I said, Mo, listen, what I need you to do is I need you to run the mile. Run the classic next year, buddy, but run the mile because, remember, he has, like, record-breaking times at the mile. But no, what they do, they ran him in the mile and a quarter. There's nowhere in his bloodlines that he's a distance horse. There's no nothing. Everybody in his family, his father was a mile champion. Everybody says in his family bloodlines, run a mile. He is a miler. And they got greedy and they ran him in the classic. And at the mile, when they were at the mile post, he was doing great. He was almost at the front. So I feel like they got greedy with him. But it was a great story for his comeback. Havre de Grace, my God, I feel so bad for her and her connections. I really thought, I really wanted her to win. She was my emotional pick.
She was in the lead pack there. But she was really never in the game. I mean, she really wasn't.
She was trapped. I mean, just totally trapped back there on the rail. And there was just nowhere for her to get out. And, you know, I loved the beginning. If you watch him walking towards the saddling area, there, you know, her trainer is from Texas. He wears a big cowboy hat, and they're like, so how do you know, how do you feel like she feels going up to this classic and everything okay? And then he turns there and he goes, well, it's just like any every other run-of-the-mill, everyday $5 million classic championship, you know, big deal. So I loved it. I loved it, Larry Jones. And then, of course, Flat Out, you had to pull for that guy. I mean, Flat Out's trainer, 75 years old, had retired because he had no horses to train. He had nothing. And he all of a sudden gets his horse named Flat Out, and here he is at the Breeders' Cup Classic. So you got to pull for guys like that, too. And, you know, and then I was so mad at Mike Smith, and I haven't really liked him ever since the whole Zenyatta thing. And I hate to say that, Mike, but it's true. But watching him talk about it after this classic and winning this one, I got to give it to him. I think I'm ready to forgive him, Glenn.
I think he probably needs forgiving. There is nobody that beat Mike Smith up more about the Zenyatta thing than Mike Smith.
I know.
Nobody. You could tell. I mean, you could really tell. And even Frankie, who knows Mike, said that, you know, he's been beating himself up for the last year about that.
Yeah.
And then,
as
you said, there were so many stories to come. To come from the same position he was with Zenyatta and break almost at the same time. I mean, maybe a little bit ahead of where he broke with Zenyatta, but then to win this race by a nose, and then to beat his ex-girlfriend, who everybody knows that watched the Jockey Series, all about that relationship. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there was just so much to this race. It was just amazing.
I know, and really she was so classy after the race. She was so classy. She's like, you know, he's a great rider, and if you're going to get beat by anybody, might as well be Mike Smith. You know, she wasn't
but she wanted to rip his throat out and sue him for palimony or whatever.
You think?
She wanted to.
I'm sure.
He's the ex. He broke up with her.
She seemed very classy. I don't know if I would have been like, that jerk comes up from behind. I didn't see him coming, that son of a bitch. Blah, 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 blah.
Would she have been the first or the second woman to win a classic?
First.
It was first.
First.
Yeah. Wow. Got darn close.
Oh. I hate him.
Second's not bad, though. She wins a few bucks. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, the other one of the day was the Dirt Mile with Shackelford. What the heck?
Oh, my gosh. Can you believe that race? Definitely a little bit shocking. What was your take on it?
I don't know. That's the one where I actually had picked, and the only reason I picked him, Colette, how do you say it?
Caleb's Posse?
Caleb's Posse was because of Rajiv, the controversial jockey. Remember, that's why I picked that horse. And Rajiv won. And as far as we could tell, he didn't run anybody over on the way there.
He actually broke nicely. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, before we get off, I do want to ask you about this, though. Before we get off the classic, which was the horse that they were taking a look at? Was it...
That's Goldakova, and she was in the $2 million mile.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that was scandalous. And I don't understand how that horse,
Goldakova, explain everybody what happened. I know we switched gears, but I didn't want to forget to talk about this.
Yeah, coming around the corner, Goldakova mugged, and I'm trying to remember which horse it was, because that horse ended up coming in almost, and did last.
Great
mugged. Yes, Courageous Cat.
Bill
Mott's coming around.
Courageous Cat, yep.
I mean, hit this horse so hard that it ended up dropping completely out of the race, and Goldakova's jockey just was like, I got to get to the front, and didn't happen. She mugged Courageous Cat finished last, and so then there was an inquiry after the race, because, my God, she hit, the jockey just ran her straight into Courageous Cat. It was nasty. They take a look at it. They leave her in second place. Are you kidding me? I was shocked, too. And if anybody is listening that saw that, please tell me if you're – we got to remember to ask Frankie and them about that, because how was that horse not disqualified or put in last place? Because what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take that horse and put it behind the horse that it mugged or that it ran into. And that horse finished last, so she would have been last place, and they didn't do that. It was scandalous, in my opinion.
As it was, she was in, what, second or third? She came in.
Yeah, she finished in second place.
Yeah.
Oh, she finished in third place. Excuse me. Goldakova finished in third, and she should have been in last. It was amazing. And I love this mare, and I love the trainer, and I love all of it. But, you know, just shouldn't have been there.
No, the girls took a hit this weekend. You know, the Goldakova, and they just took a hit this weekend.
It was if you played all of the the favorites, you'd be a billionaire.
Oh my God, the long shots paid. Yeah. They had the second highest payout ever at the odds, the 2 million mile Court Vision at odds of 64-1. It paid $131 on a $2 bet. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I like to think that I would bet something with that long odds because I just usually put $2 on those, like just in case. But that was crazy. Court Vision doing that. But then tell me what you thought about the horse named Hansen. Hansen, what color was that horse? Jennifer may be able to weigh in on this. I thought it was like a silver. Kind of, it won the $2 million juvenile wire to wire. And they said going into this race that the horse is a wire to wire runner. He will break first and fast and just go. And if he gets beat at the end, he gets beat. He did not get beat. He ran his little heart out. And of course, at the end of the race, they're like, oh, this is, I think it was Jerry Bailey. This is a case of one, not the best horse winning the race. Whatever. He was faster than everybody that day.
Yeah, exactly.
But Hansen, I almost thought it was a Palomino. It was so crazy looking.
He kind of, you're right. He was silver. He's just silver. There's no other color that you could say. I don't know if that's considered a dun of some sort. Very
odd.
It's like
odd he was color. White. Yeah,
yeah,
white.
Yeah, it was almost white. Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah, very odd.
Very interesting. Definitely the long shots won crazy races and wins, and it was just very exciting and it was very fun. I sat in front of the TV all day Friday and all day Saturday. I'm not gonna.
I was gonna ask if you got off the couch.
I did not. I definitely did not get off the couch, and we'll talk about why a little bit later. But it was just nice to have something to look at on the wall for two straight days. Chad on by Saturday night was like, I have got to get out of here. I'm like, they're about to run the classic. He's like, it's been 2 days of this. 2 days. My Super Bowl lasts 2 hours. Yours lasts 2 days.
We taped it because we went over to, let me think where we were on Saturday. We went over to watch the big jumper show on Friday night at the National Horse Show. They had a $250,000 class, which was fun. We'll talk about that a little bit later, too. But so we taped it, and, of course, we didn't tape enough extra, and I don't know if it went long or it switched stations or what happened, but there were a lot of people in Lexington that I noticed on Facebook that were complaining that they didn't get to see it because it cut off before the race. So we ended up watching it on the computer on YouTube.
Yeah, if you guys had an iPhone or an iPad or something, what I did is I downloaded the Breeders' Cup app and watched several races on my phone. Like if I had to get up and go do something, I would then turn the Breeders' Cup app on my phone on and watch all of them on my phone. It was awesome.
No wonder your husband was upset. That's just like going from session to compulsion.
Yeah. We were walking around the grocery store, and I'm like, hey, stop, come here. We watch it and keep going.
And he stays with you, why? I'm trying to remember. You've told me before.
Let's get to our first guest.
Dr. Chang is ready to go for his update this month.
Well, and we welcome Dr. Chang, obviously the sponsor of today's show, Omega Alpha. We absolutely love their products. We love having Dr. Chang on because he's going to help us figure out, you know, when you're giving your horse joint supplements, you want to do the best thing you can. But how much of the joint supplement are they getting? Are they absorbing? Well, Dr. Chang is going to help us figure that out. So, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Glenn. Nice
morning,
to be on
Dr.
board.
Chang.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about glucosamines and chondroitins. And so, you know, do they absorb any of this, Dr. Chang?
You know, one of the biggest things about glucosamine, especially on chondroitin, it just infuriates me when people absolutely insist upon having chondroitin in their products for their horses. Just because for chondroitin, and it's just not me saying this. I mean, if you go look into the scientific literature, the studies basically show that with horses, chondroitin is not absorbed. It's absorbed. If you get, I mean, in humans, the studies are showing that we absorb approximately 10%. Now, humans have much better digestive enzymes than the horses for breaking down things like chondroitin. So we know that horses, they absorb even less than we do. So, and chondroitin actually, if it does get broken down, is broken down into something called galactosamine, which is a glucosamine-type product. But the body normally converts glucosamine to galactosamine. So if you get any chondroitin, you're better off by giving a little bit extra glucosamine.
Okay. I've heard vets say before that, certain supplements, the horses don't look any different, but the dogs run around like great because the dogs are actually eating what comes out, you know. So you're saying that there are a couple different ways to absorb it.
No, it's just the digestive system. Chondroitin, its source is usually from cartilage. And horses, being herbivores, just don't have the digestive system to break down chondroitin. Whereas dogs and cats are carnivores, right? So they have the enzymes that will break it down, right? So that's why dogs and cats will benefit a lot more than people, right? Now, another thing that people should know also about glucosamine, if people were to go into the bodies, right, dogs, cats, people, and horses, and take all the glucosamine out, it's in the form of what's called a D-glucosamine form. Now, I don't know if you know anything about it. The similarity here is with vitamin E. You know, you have what's called D-alpha-tocopherol and L-alpha-tocopherol.
Okay.
Now, D-alpha-tocopherol is the one that actually is utilized by the body. So if you go into the body, your D-glucosamine sulfate is the one that's actually taken up, and it's, even though all of it is absorbed, but only the D-glucosamine form is actually incorporated into the cartilage, into the synovial fluids, and all those type of things. But when you buy glucosamine, unless it's stated D-glucosamine on the label, it's usually a mixture of both D-glucosamine and L-glucosamine. And the only reason you have a mixture of D and L is because of the way it's manufactured. A lot of glucosamine, most glucosamine, 99.9% of the glucosamine in the world comes from shrimp shells and crab shells. And what they do, there's two ways of making it. One of them, they use acids and alkalis. And what that does, it breaks down the chitin, which is what the shrimp shells and so on are made of, and it breaks it all the way down to glucosamine. But that, because they use that process, you get both D-glucosamine being formed and L-glucosamine being formed. Now, why that is important, let me back up here again. Another way of making it is using enzymes to break it down. When the enzymes break it down, you primarily get D-glucosamine being formed. Now, why this is important is because if you take 1,000 milligrams of glucosamine, if it states that it's D-glucosamine, you get 1,000 milligrams of glucosamine that is actually useful. If it doesn't say D-glucosamine, it's usually a 50-50 mixture, meaning that it's 50% D, 50% L-glucosamine. And what that means is that of 1,000 milligrams, you get 500 milligrams of D-glucosamine and 500 milligrams of L-glucosamine. And since we only incorporate the D-glucosamine, you only have 500 milligrams of useful glucosamine. The other 500 milligrams is broken down and not incorporated into your tissues.
So basically, when you give your horse this, they're not absorbing the L at all.
No, it does get absorbed into the body. It just doesn't get incorporated into the tissue. And that's what's important. You have to remember that there's several steps to this. You can absorb it in from the intestinal tract into the bloodstream, and then from the bloodstream it has to go through the liver and where it gets and then absorbs by the cells, and then where in the cells itself, the cells then take the glucosamine and make it into hyaluronic acid, which is then into the synovial fluid, or is converted into galactosamine, where it's used to make cartilage and so on. So it has many different uses.
Dr. Chang, does that mean that the bourbon, the high-quality bourbon that we had over the weekend works the same way. It gets absorbed but doesn't end up in the tissue?
The high-quality bourbon definitely probably ends up in your tissue. That's why you get drunk.
That's your brain, Glenn.
Yeah. No, everything gets absorbed, but it doesn't get used. That's the problem, right? So even though the D-glucosamine and the L-glucosamine both get absorbed in the body, but only the D form gets used to make cartilage. And since you're taking glucosamine to make cartilage and to make things like synovial fluid, it is you need to get the D form of glucosamine. So unless
So question. Obviously, we want to give our horses the D-glucosamine.
That's right.
How can we tell when we read a label that they're getting it?
The label should specifically state that it is D-glucosamine that you have in there. There is no way for you to look at it to see or smell or taste it. It has to say specifically on the label. Unless you have a little chemistry lab in your backyard somewhere, there's no way the general consumer will tell.
And most of those get busted here. and they're not making glucosamine either.
Okay.
I swear, I'm just making glucosamine, I swear.
That little white powder, that's glucosamine.
Yes. But you know what, though? But that's the glucosamine side. But on the chondroitin side of the story, though, chondroitin is expensive. So anytime people put chondroitin in with glucosamine, the price of the product automatically goes up, right? So, and I know a lot of people swear on a stack of Bibles for chondroitin for their horses. But really, if you look at the studies, none of it is absorbed. And if it's not absorbed, you're basically just wasting it. It's like sand. If you eat sand, it just goes right through you. It doesn't get absorbed.
Okay, so the chondroitin basically doesn't, what I'm hearing, it doesn't matter. And
that's
it could be a cheaper product if there's none of it in it.
That's correct, right?
Are you saying the chondroitin really doesn't do anything?
Chondroitin, not for horses. For dogs and cats, yes. All right.
How about humans?
A touch for people, right? Okay. Even with people, it's iffy because you only get a little bit extra, right? It's mainly the major effects you'll see is dogs and cats or any animals that can break down meat and so on, like carnivores, right?
Okay.
So even your mice would probably do very well with it, right?
Now, that's important.
Yeah. What?
Your rat. Jamie has a rat. Her would be great with it.
One of the other things I'd like to bring up, too, is also people should also think about anytime you have any type of joint issues, the pain that's associated with it or even the swelling that's associated with it is usually caused by inflammation. And sometimes it's low-level inflammation, right? By that I mean it's ouchy and it's irritated, but it's not full-blown inflammation. So it's what they call a subclinical inflammation. And for that, you need, in order to help the tissue heal, you need to control that inflammation. All right, so it's a good idea to take some anti-inflammatories with it. But the problem with horses and anti-inflammatories, the stuff that the vet would recommend, which are the pharmaceutical products, they're usually non-steroidal anti-inflammatories and NSAIDs. They're very tough on the stomach. All right, so sometimes it's a trade-off with, is it you want to have a sound joint or do you want to have a stomach full with ulcers? Right, so it's a good idea to find a product like we have that actually has herbal anti-inflammatories incorporated with it, right? Or if you're going to choose a joint product, choose one that has some herbal anti-inflammatories associated with the product, so that will help with the inflammation. And if you control the inflammation, you get better healing or faster healing of the joint itself.
Okay, so that begs the question, because I've got to tell you, just as a personal note, that I've used some of your products, and I was shocked with the results being as good as they were. So I want to know, what do you think, what are your products that we can use to help our horses in the joints?
Well, we have two products. One is a product called Sinuex, right? Actually, we do have three. Sinuex, which has the glucosamine. It also has MSM. MSM is important because it supplies the body with sulfur, and more importantly, it also has something called methyl groups, which are important in the manufacture of different enzymes that are used in breaking down or controlling inflammation, right? And methyl groups are also important in many different biochemical reactions in a body. So if the body can pick up methyl groups from something that you eat, it's even better. So that's why MSM works really well. It also has the anti-inflammatory herbs. And those anti-inflammatory herbs are especially important to help control low-level inflammation.
Well, sure, but, right. And that makes sense, and I don't think anybody's ever addressed that in my brain before, because the reason that you need these joint supplements is to obviously, number one, protect the quality of the joint fluid, the joint space, but also to keep them from being in pain. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, you can't give a bunch of butte the night before a horse show, but if you're giving something with herbs, you're going to be in a much better shape because you're actually protecting the joint and keeping those inflammatory cells out of the joint. At the same time, you're putting the good stuff into the joint.
Definitely. But let me explain also, it's even more important. Inflammation is even more important as you think, because every time you go to a horse show, and no matter what you get your horse to do, you stress that joint. Anytime you stress that joint, there's a natural inflammation that goes on that basically breaks down some of the bad tissue or the damaged tissue to allow buildup of brand new and strengthen the tissue. However, what happens sometimes is that the normal controls over inflammation is out of whack. And because it's out of whack, that's why, you know, if you exercise a lot, and you do it every weekend or every day, what you will find is that you're never totally not in pain. Never totally pain-free. You always have a little ouch or a little ache. That's because of natural inflammation that's going on to help strengthen the tissues, right? And what you want to do, though, is to help control that inflammation so that the body can actually get about going its way to strengthen the tissue, to rebuild. Inflammation breaks down tissue, right? Rebuilding occurs after you break down the tissue. But if you don't control that inflammation, you get more breakdown than rebuilding. And that's where you run into trouble.
And when you get, like, say, for example, you're getting your horses, if you've ever had this done, that's probably explained it, is you're getting the horse's hocks injected. When they put that needle into that hock joint and fluid comes out, if it's really good fluid, it's going to be thick and viscous and mucousy, and that's the good joint fluid. But what happens is it comes out and it's like watery. You know, when the water drips out, that means it's already been broken down by inflammatory cells. So that's
right.
What you're preventing. I love it. Okay, so we've got Sinew X. What other ones?
There's something called Anti-Flam. Now, Anti-Flam is an anti-inflammatory type product, and it is very effective as an anti-inflammatory. But the nice thing about this, it does not irritate the stomach, so which is a major plus.
Yeah, because obviously butte going to hurt the stomach. So is it also legal to give your horses that are competing?
Yes, because it is not. It doesn't test. That's basically the reason. It will not give a positive test on anything.
Okay.
All right. And last but not least, we have a powder form called glucosamine. It has glucosamine MSM, which we call GLS powder. Glucosamine MSM, some silicone and some boron in there. And basically what that is, it's for treatment of, it's more of a preventative treatment to just add to the feed to give young horses or older horses that are the geriatric type horses that are not in competition. You know, those are the type of, it's like a multivitamin type preventative. That's how we look at that.
GLS powder.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Dr. Chang, you know, as usual, fascinating. And you listeners, if you think that Dr. Chang sounds passionate, this is how he is. Whenever you meet him at horse shows, this is the stuff he will bury you in conversation with, and you will be like, I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds pretty cool. I'll just try it. But we love having you on the show, and thank you for sharing your knowledge about all of this. And everybody, you know, if you're If you do have any questions about any of this, they can email you directly. And what's your email address?
It's gchang, G-C-H-A-N-G, at oapharma.com, O-A-P-H-A-R-M-A.com, C-O-M.
I'm writing that down because I'm going to have questions for you later.
You can also contact him through the website at omegaalpha.ca. So there's a contact link there that they'll get the if you have a question they'll get it over to you, won't they, Dr. Chang?
Yes, it usually will end up on my desk.
And also follow them on Facebook. They have a great Facebook page, and you can find just search for Omega Alpha on Facebook. They have Omega Alpha Equine, and you'll find links to that on our Facebook page as well. Well, thank you, Dr. Chang. We appreciate you being with us here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right,
I will be speaking to you again next month.
All right, sounds good.
Take care.
Thanks, Dr. Chang.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, I got to admit, I was lost a little bit at the beginning of that, but then I caught up. I caught up toward the end.
Well, you actually have to pay attention every now and then, Glenn, and that's...
Oh, that's the problem. You keep saying that. Mm. I have so much trouble with attention. Hey, there was a song I heard. I got to tell you, I'm trying to find it. I'm going to play it tomorrow if I wrote to the guy for permission. It's called ADD Cowboy. It was written about me.
Oh,
ADD
my God.
Cowboy.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
I hope I can play it for everybody tomorrow. Well, we have our song today, and I'm going to play this. We're going to be speaking about Hickstead very shortly. And anybody that has Facebook that's in the horse world knows that Hickstead died over the weekend at a horse show. Because it's been everywhere, and he was one of the, I've read in so many places that if a horse could fly, he was the one that was doing it. So we're going to talk about the Jumper Hickstead, and we're going to have one of our Canadian friends to help us talk about that. So the next song is in honor of him, but we also lost a member of the Horses in the Morning family, a four-legged member on Friday, and. The regular listeners to Horses in the Morning will know this dog because she was the one that you would hear in the background woofing in her sleep. And,
yeah.
You know, and you would hear Jamie going, wake up, be quiet.
Yeah,
that
was her.
Riddy died on Friday.
I know. She's 15 years old. And she had congestive heart failure. And 2.5 years ago, I had a vet diagnose her and told me she would have 6 months to live. And that was 2.5 years ago. So she was such a fighter. And she was, just the happiest basset hound. And it seems like all bassets are happy, but this one was particularly happy. I found her when I was mountain bike riding on the side of the road. And she was laying in a pool of blood, like her own blood. And so I got off my bike and I went up to the trailer that was at the end of the driveway. And I knocked on the door and I was like, hey, is that your basset hound? They're like, he'll be fine. Now, this is in North Georgia Mountains. He'll be fine. I was like, well, actually, she is in shock right now and needs to see a veterinarian. She had all these like lacerations and wounds on her and everything. And I told them, I said, well, can I take her to the vet for you? And they were like, why do you want to do that? If you want to take him to the vet, you can just have him. So, like, with some of my friends, I'm like, go get the truck. So they go get the truck. We put her in the truck. I take her home and nurse her back to health. But, like, after 2 weeks, these lacerations weren't healing. And I know I've told this story before, but I finally decided, we got to open up these scabs and clean them out. And she's had just so many just bumps on her and just scabby, pussy, nasty things, So I go and I open one up and I squeeze it, and buckshot comes out. The dog had been shot. A basset hound had been shot. Who shoots a basset hound? Seriously. So,
you think it was the guy in the trailer?
I don't know. I mean, they just ridiculous people, and just horrible. So, I brought the dog home to my brothers, and she had like the big collar on, and she had been clipped, and she had all these wounds on her, and my brother looks at her and he goes, "Oh my God, That's the most ridiculous looking dog I have ever seen. So we called her Riddy for ridiculous. And I had her.
Is that how she got her name? I never knew that.
Yeah, that's how she got her name. She was like, that is ridiculous. That is just, ugh. And she was. She lived up to her name. She would play and trip on her ears. And, you know, she just was such a wonderful friend. And as she started to get older, she had, you know, night terrors. And we've talked to Dr. Wendy Ying so much with, you know, changing her food, which helped. And just trying to get her happy. She was on melatonin. She was on heart pills. And, you know, while the heart pills kept her alive, they didn't do a great job to her kidneys. So she was having some problems there. And, you know, just one thing after another. And she'd been slowing down for a couple days. And, you know, you always wait for an aged friend like that to tell you when they're ready. And you don't want to wait too long, and you don't want to wait to be too early. And it's just, it's one of those things where I just said, you know, okay, if she stops eating and she doesn't get excited to see me, then I'll know. And on Friday, I went out, and she has a little bed outside, and I went outside and I started scratching her belly, and she usually, the back leg starts going, and it didn't. And I was like, okay, I got to feed her. And so at this point, we're on cheese and chicken breast. You know, and I'm trying to hand feed her and she wouldn't eat it. So the fact that she wouldn't eat chicken breast or cheese was something else. And, you know, I go to rub her in the spots that she loves and she just kind of didn't respond. So I kind of had decided that it was time. So I called Chad and he came home from work and we called the vet. And we used the vet I worked for, Dr. Coppy, over at Durango Equine Clinic. It's a horse vet, and I called him, you know, crying, and he drove to my house, and we were able to, you know, peacefully put her to sleep on her bed in the front of the house, and, you know, I didn't have to take her to the vet clinic on a cold table, you know, and she went real peacefully, and it was just really, really tough to lose a friend like that, and somebody that had been with me for so long that, you know, it's frustrating now because she was quite we called her a piece of furniture in the house because she slept like 23 hours a day. And there's a couple spots that she always went in, and you get up in the middle of the night, and I have three times now in the middle of the night stepped over where she used to lay just because I'm trained to step over her when I get up, you know, in the middle of the night or whatever. And so we definitely miss her, but we were able to, bury her in the backyard, and, you know.
Well, they do tell you when they're ready, don't they? When we lost our last greyhound, she told us, she knew, you know. She came around the corner that one morning and looked at us and said, that's it, I'm done, you know. So they do tell you. They let you know when they're ready. Well, we feel for you. We've all been there as horse owners who also own dogs. We've all been there and had to go through the same thing. Templeton Thompson sang a song for you and also sang a song for everybody who loved Hickstead, and that song was Never Be the Same. I highly advise you to go to the bathroom now and come back when it's over, or we're not going to be able to continue the show. So,
okay.
So we'll be right back to continue today's show. We have a ton of news for you, and also we're going to have Kiera McMurdo about her article she did for Horse Junkies United on the Super Jumper Hickstead.
How
Well, thank you to Templeton Thompson for that. Was Never Be the Same. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. It seemed to just say what we needed to say today about that. You're listening to Horses in the Morning by Omega Alpha this morning. I'm here with Jamie Jennings. I'm Glenn the Geek. And also Coach Jen is over in the producer chair today. And today's highlight show on the Horse Radio Network is the Stable Scoop Radio Show. If you didn't get to catch last Friday's Stable Scoop Show, go over and take a listen to it. It's episode number 168. It's called Battle of the Hosts. Helena and I and Coach Jen and Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show, we answered some listener emails that we had, and we also talked about heating up bits and whether that's important in the wintertime. But then we played a fun game of Battle of the Hosts where Jennifer challenged the three hosts to some trivia questions. And let me tell you, I don't think you'll be surprised about who won, but you definitely will not be surprised who lost. So that's
I know it already.
It was a lot of fun. If you want to just listen to some silliness, head over to the Stable Scoop Show. We had a blast last week on the show, and thank you to Jennifer and Dr. Ying for joining us. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time. So that's the Stable Scoop Show from last week. Now, one of the things we wanted to talk about today was another one, as we've been mentioning all morning, was another one of the big news that happened over the weekend at a show, and it was at a World Cup qualifier, and that is that Hickstead, the horse that that so many know and so many love, and we're going to learn more about here shortly. Hickstead died right after a class, and in the arena, actually, and they think that he had a massive heart attack, although they're going to be doing an autopsy about that. Somebody wrote an article for Horse Junkies United. As you know, that's one of our favorite blogs. And it was Kiara McMurdo. And Kiara wrote this article, and I absolutely loved it. And I said, we have to get Kiara on. She's Canadian, and she's seen Hickstead at Spruce Meadows. She's seen Hickstead do his magic. And I thought, well, let's just get her on to talk about it. So good morning, Kiara.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today on such short notice. We really appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Jennifer is going to post a link to your article at Horse Junkies United and also your tremendous, beautiful pictures that you had taken of this amazing horse. Tell us, for those that are not jumping fans and, you know, who've been living under a rock, there's a few of us out there, you know, who was Hickstead? And, you know, tell us about what your memories of Hickstead are.
Well, Hickstead was this little, he was only about 16 hands, 15-year-old Dutch bred stallion that was ridden by, of course, Eric Lamaz. And when you looked at him, he was not your typical show jumper. So like I said, he was small, but he had this incredible jump. But more importantly, he had so much heart. You could just tell he loved what he was doing. And then with Eric, they won the Olympic gold in 2008 at Beijing. And then at Spruce Meadows, they won the million-dollar class twice in 2007 and 2011. So to say they've done a lot is really an understatement.
Now, you've seen him, you saw him ride at Spruce Meadows, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And tell me, was he the one everybody was looking forward to seeing? Was he basically the star of the show, him and Eric?
Oh, for sure. Just when you're... Like, when I was doing it for Horse Junkies United, I'd be in the arena with my camera, so sometimes I'd be looking through pictures. But then you just hear the crowd get louder and louder and louder, then there'd be cheering, and then there was just a whole buzz, and you could tell he was going to come and like come under that clock tower.
And, you know, you obviously saw him win some serious money. This horse won some serious money over the years, you know, as
yeah.
a jumper. He was actually in the class of racehorse money.
Oh, absolutely. I guess he's won over $3 million.
Not too bad. Now, was there video? I did not see a video, and to be honest, I didn't look very hard because I didn't think I could handle it. Was there a video of everything that happened over the weekend?
There was, actually, and it's very tragic to watch.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Yeah.
I was curious.
This was very sudden, wasn't it? He just collapsed.
Oh, absolutely. He had finished his round, and he was walking. He circled, and they were walking towards the gate, and you just saw him stagger, and he fell.
Wow.
Yeah.
How heartbreaking is that for everybody in the stands there, too?
Oh, I can't imagine. Would have been just heart-wrenching.
And I saw some quotes from Eric, who obviously said, you know, this was his lifetime horse. You know, we often talk about mm-hmm. how we all get that one horse in your lifetime that's your lifetime horse or your lifetime dog. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this was his for sure. And mm-hmm. as you said, he wasn't very big, which is something that you would expect for a horse that achieved everything he achieved.
Oh, absolutely. You'd expect this, like, big strapping stallion with, like, a huge long stride and all elegant, but that wasn't Hickstead at all. He was the opposite of it.
Sometimes they surprise us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The little ones are the triers.
This is a big loss for Canada, too, isn't it?
Oh, it's huge. Because going into an Olympic year next year, like, a lot of people had their money on Hickstead. Like, he was going to lead the team, and he was, you know, a shoo-in for a medal.
Yeah.
Now, Kira, when you talk about Hickstead not being that big, and obviously stood just at a mere 16 hands, and I encourage everybody to go on and look at the pictures you took of this horse, because the one of him jumping the Beijing jump, mm-hmm. I mean, his hooves are flat up against the
belly.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. He was so tight. He had an incredible jump on him.
He's absolutely, like, the most careful horse that there ever was in show jumping.
Oh, yeah.
Now, talk about, you know, when you see horses, like, if you were to go see, you know, liken it to somebody like me, like a Zenyatta, to be in the presence of a horse like that would be just, you know, almost indescribable. So you stood around Hickstead, obviously being a fan, being Canadian, like what is being around him? It's like that movie star presence. Did he have that?
Oh, absolutely. It was just, he'd walk by you and it would just be like, wow, that was Hickstead. And just, he carried himself like a champion. His head was in the air. He was chomping the bit. He was prancing. Like, he knew he was good. And he was.
He had that attitude of a champion, too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, when we saw Zenyatta come back to Lexington before she headed over to the farm after she was done racing at 1 in the morning in about minus 10 degrees,
She
had the same thing. She was all pumped up. She, you know, she mm-hmm. had, she just was there to greet her fans. And
yeah.
She had that same thing. The really special horses in life, the ones who, you know, the very few of them like that mm-hmm. have that presence. Are just special. I mean, they're just special.
Oh, absolutely. Like, Hickstead's indescribable. He was beyond special. He was phenomenal.
Well, I think the government of Canada should order all flags at half-mast today because, you know, it probably needs to happen. I saw more articles on Hickstead in the mainstream press than I've seen since Zenyatta. That's the last time
yeah.
I've seen that many articles over the weekend about it. But you have one of the best written ones. I encourage everybody to go read Kiara's article. It's at Horse Junkies United. Jennifer's posted a link up on our Facebook page. And thank you so much for taking the time out to write it. You could not have gotten through writing this without crying.
Oh, I cried the entire time, and it took me hours. I did not stop crying once.
I was going to say, I thought you must have, because when
you read it,
you could hear the passion. You know, you could just hear the passion in you. So,
oh, yeah.
Thank you so much, Kira.
No
we
problem.
We appreciate you being on.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, another champion there. You know, we got to go over the weekend. Talk about not big horses, Jamie. We got to go over mm-hmm. the weekend to Lane's End. You had encouraged us to go over and have lunch there. They were serving free lunches yesterday at Lane's End Farm. Of course, that's where Zenyatta is, and Jennifer can help me out with this conversation. We went over with Wendy, Dr. Yang from the driving show, and some of her friends, and the place, by the way, was packed. I asked the lady serving lunch, the caterer, and I said, is this more people than you thought? And she said, we expected 300. I've already served 400, and there was 2 hours to go yet.
Oh, my God.
People showed up in droves to go out to the stallion barn, and what they had open was the stallion barn, so you got to see all the stallions. And of course, their number one stallion, then the stallion that has produced more winners than any other stallion in history is AP Indy. And AP Indy was there looking, by the way, very old and very hunchbacked, huh, Jennifer? He's 22 and he's retired, but boy, he looked old, and he had a sway back like you've never seen before.
So not hunchback, swayback then.
Wait, I'm sorry, swayback is what I meant to say. Yeah, sorry.
Well, He's had quite the life, and he has probably been standing on his hind legs for more of his life than standing straight up. Okay. I mean, the horse breeds like 100-and-something horses every year, but they did this past year pension him. So he is now retired from breeding. He's retired from everything. He just stands there and looks pretty. And still being around him, he has a presence, I think.
Yeah, he looked very happy. He was sleeping, actually, with all these people. He was in his stall sleeping. By the way, what a beautiful place Lane's End is. What a beautiful place. What's that?
What's it like? Describe it.
Well, it has three or four stallion barns, actually, that are very large stalls, all with the hardwood paneling inside the stalls and out, and they use more wood polish than you probably would use it for an army because everything is polished to the hilt. You know, Jamie or Jennifer, you can help me out here, but the stalls are huge, and actually we were kind of surprised that a lot of the stalls use the old real brick. They were old real brick on the floors. I don't think, were there any of the rubber bricks anywhere, Jennifer? This was old style.
The flooring in the newest of the barns was the rubber paving bricks.
Yeah.
But I think the flooring, if I remember right, in the older of the two barns was traditional brick.
A couple things that stood out to us about the horses there is all of APND's babies that were there as stallions now were just looked like quarter horses. They had those big butts and the big bellies, and they just looked like quarter horses. Our friend actually owned and raced one of his babies who also looked like a quarter horse. And you could just tell AP Indies. You'd walk by the stall before you even read who that horse was by. You could tell it was an AP Indy by the butt because they definitely had the quarter horse butt. And they had they would bring the horses out and show them to everybody, allow them to take pictures. They were so nice. They were so friendly about everything. And you could tell a lot of these people were horse people that had come over from the Breeders' Cup. A lot of them had come from the Breeders' Cup over to do this farm tour. A lot of them were not horse people who came for the free food. But everybody got to see some cool horses. They have a cemetery right there, which is very nice, very pretty, the way it's laid out. So we got to go see the cemetery. And then the view from their barn of all of the fields, it's that classic Kentucky thoroughbred farm view of the fields, of the rolling fences everywhere. Just goes on forever and ever. It just gives me goosebumps now talking about it because it's an absolutely serene, beautiful place at the Stallion Barns there. Now, there were a few people you could hear asking about Zenyatta that were very disappointed that they hadn't read the press that said she wouldn't be available, but she was nowhere to be seen.
Well, I would imagine. Probably not a good idea to have her in the Stallion Barn. Jeez. Come on, people. Now, a couple of very, very important questions for you, Glenn and Jennifer. Number one is, did you see Charles? Charles, of course, of the 2010 Hottest Horseman of the Year Award fame here on the Horse Radio Network. He won Best Couple. He is the broodmare manager, assistant manager there at Lane's End, and he is very good looking. And was he there? Did you see him?
I think they also kept him locked up in the broodmare barn because
he would have been a distraction.
For him. Yeah.
Somebody famous
what,
like
Jen?
That.
I don't think they let him around the stallions either because he smells like Zenyatta.
Second question is, did you see a potential nominee for the next 2011 Hottest Horseman of the Year Awards? Anything? Jennifer?
Nothing.
Jennifer?
It was all good-looking horses.
All horses. No Hawkeye. Okay. Just checking. Those are my important questions. How was the food?
Food was great. It was actually very good food. They had a variety of things there. It was very good. And everybody was partaking, let me tell you. Everybody was in line for lunch. And it was just so beautiful. The swag was gone. They were handing out hats for all the different horses. They were handing out cups from Lane's End. And people were lined up for that stuff. And when we left, they were having to tell people, we're just playing out. They had these bins and bins and bins of hats and shirts and everything. They gave away everything they had.
Did you get anything?
No, we didn't get anything. I think that Wendy may have gotten a mug and a hat of somebody. But we ended up not getting anything because we waited too long. But I will tell you this. We got our food, and we went outside, and we were right beside the one, the barn where AP Indy was. And we sat in the grass, and it was an absolutely beautiful day, about 60 degrees. You could see all the fields forever. It was just beautiful. They have a big statue there of AP Indy that sort of highlights the center of the barn area. It was just, it was one of those special moments that you can only find in Kentucky, to be honest with you.
Oh, I'm so jealous. That's so cool. I love it when they do the open houses. Now, my next important question is, did you see Curlin, and was he awesome, and was he obviously your favorite one after AP Indy?
Let's let Jennifer answer that first, and then I'll give you my opinion.
Okay.
I was very excited to see Curlin because I loved watching that horse run. But he did not win my most impressive stallion at the Stallion Barns Award. I have to give it to Quality Road. He's got lovely presence. He was outside of the stall, and I'm amazed. They were letting everybody pet him. Can I pet him? Sure. They're up there scratching their face. They're going, yeah, okay. But Quality Road, I really like him. He's got a great face. He's got a great expression.
Yeah, Jennifer, was he the one with the mane that I liked so much?
He was the one with the mane that you liked, yes.
Quality Road was definitely my favorite, too. He was a good-looking horse. He had this forelock that went everywhere. It looked like he had a bad night. And it was so cute. It was actually, he had Justin Bieber hair was what I sort of compared it to. he's a pretty boy. But Curlin, one of the things that always surprises me, and we talked about Hickstead being a small horse. In your mind's eye, these horses that are real champions are so larger than life. And then when you meet them and you look at them and you go, it's a brown horse, about 15-2 hands. And that's kind of the way I felt about Curlin. I went up and I looked at him and I went, he's a little brown horse. They're just not as impressive in person, some of them.
How dare you? Curlin is a 16-2 hand chestnut, so you are clearly confusing him with somebody else. Because Curlin
kind of looked like a brown horse in a stall. He just was standing there. I all kind of looked brown, and he kind of didn't look that big. And I wasn't all that impressed with Curlin, actually.
Well, you're a boy. We don't care about what you think. Jennifer, he was awesome, wasn't he?
He wasn't as awesome as and I think maybe because their demeanor does change once they retire. And I think that made a difference because he was just like, yeah, hey, dudes. He just made me think of, he was a parrot head, you know? He just like kicked back, had a burger and a beer.
Now, did you see Rock Hard 10, who is a ginormous 17-hand dark bay, almost black horse? Did you see?
He was turned out while we were there.
Okay.
And he was running around like a nut.
Really?
Yeah, he was having a blast.
They also have Mine Shaft out there and Lemon Drop Kid.
Yeah. Mine Shaft wins the PR award. He had his butt bushed up against the bars of his stall the whole time, and everybody was scratching his fanny. And you know how when you scratch a horse in the wintertime, it gets the dust out of the coat?
Uh-huh.
His whole butt was brown from people scratching his butt.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, all right, that is so great you guys went. Did you take lots of pictures? Are you going to post them?
I got some pictures that I'll post on our Facebook page here shortly. And, Lemon Drop Kid, first of all, the name Lemon Drop Kid should have been a quarter horse that won a futurity. Shouldn't it have been? That kind of sounds like a quarter horse futurity name.
Did he win the Belmont? Okay.
I know, but it kind of just has that name, you know? And I don't think we looked too closely at him. Some of them, there were so many people around him, it was hard to get to the stalls. But they were all being great about it. They were all terrific. It was a fun time. I'm glad we went over. And then we went over and Jennifer watched an entire afternoon of the Metal McClay. We do have an announcement from that, the winner of the Metal McClay. And Jennifer sat there a lot longer. I couldn't do an entire afternoon of Metal McClay because that's, of course, a judged competition where it's on looks as well as jumping. And, steadiness and gait and all of that's very important. And, I was falling asleep to the Metal McClay. I hate to say
that.
Jennifer, though, all afternoon.
Jennifer, what did you think about the Metal McClay? It's very prestigious, very big deal. Explain to everybody what that is and then what you saw.
The Metal McClay is this particular competition is the National Championships for Hunt Seat Equitation. So that's English riding, and they do it on the flat and then over fences. But it's judged on the rider and the rider's ability to create the performance specified by the judge. So they do a regular old hunt seat equitation over fences class, like many folks have seen before. Looks very similar to a hunter class to your average Joe who's not into English riding. The horse goes around the jumps, and they try to make it smooth and steady and consistent and things like that. And then they do a flat class, and everybody goes around the outside track, and they walk and they trot and they canter at the judge's command all together as a group. Now for the Metal McClay, because it's the national championships, they ask for extra stuff. They have to do an extended sitting trot, which is fun to watch on a hunt seat horse, because, as you know, those little teeny, skinny little saddles really aren't made for sitting in. So I felt bad for some of those riders. And they'll ask for changes of lead on the flat and stuff like that, so it gets a little more complicated. But the really fun part is at the end of the day, the final round, they had 192 entries. That's 192 different kids, because this is for junior riders.
Uh-huh.
The last class of the day, I think, was 24 when they got to the finals. I think it was 24 riders or 36, something like that. They whittle it down in these different rounds. They set up I kind of think of it, the course layout is a little bit like show jumping light. It's twisty and windy. Like the show arena, they had three different jumps that ran down the center line, so to speak. And they had to canter through that in sort of a serpentine and do these three oxers down the center line in a serpentine. That was really cool. So that's really testing the rider's ability to do the course clean and clear, but they have to do it in an equitation class. You can't be, sit back and yank on their mouth and have their head go flying in the air. That's going to get you booted out right away.
You have to look perfect going through this incredibly difficult metal course. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
at the end, to make it even better, they take the top riders, and I think this time they had three. They call them back in, and these sometimes are people who have never met each other before, and they say, you ride this guy's horse, you guys ride this guy's horse, and you ride this guy's horse. So you have to sit on a horse you have never seen before and jump that exact same 3-foot-6-inch jumper course on somebody else's horse.
Wow. Was it anything disastrous, or did it all go smooth because the horses
went really well, actually. There were, in the round with the 24 finalists, there were a couple of iffy moments, but nothing really disastrous. A missed spot here and there. But,
which makes it very boring for us horse husbands. We really like to see we really like to see the crash and burns.
Yeah.
Thrills and spills. Yes.
Yes, we do. But the winner was Sarah Millerin of Sapula, Oklahoma, of all places. Usually you see these winners coming out of California or New York. But out of Oklahoma, she won. Demi Siegler out of Ladura Ranch, California, was in second. And Elizabeth Benton from White House Station, New Jersey, was third.
I bet you if you live in Oklahoma, I should ask Chad, because he's from Oklahoma, how proud to pronounce that. But they probably say Sapula.
Sapula? Okay.
I don't know, though. I'll ask
him. I think it's very unusual from history to have a rider from the middle of the country. Usually it's East Coast or West Coast.
Yeah, the East Coasters are the stronghold of equitation, hunt seat equitation, definitely, yeah.
How do you pronounce that?
Oh, she's finding out how to pronounce it.
He heard me say Oklahoma, and he came in and goes, what about Oklahoma?
is it Sapula?
Oh, he thinks it's a mistype. He says there's a Sapulpa, Oklahoma. I don't know, though.
I don't know either. But then we had a more fun round, I thought, was the big round on Saturday night. They had the All-Tech round. It was the jumper round for $250,000. It was the Grand Prix. And Richard
right,
Spooner.
It is Sapulpa. It's Sapulpa, Oklahoma.
Sapulpa, okay. So Richard Spooner won that, and it was just fun to watch it. Jessica Springsteen was in the running, and she ended up coming in third. But we were all rooting for Jessica. She had a lot of fans there because Bruce Springsteen was sitting about two sections away from us. We could see him watching his daughter. He was there with the family, and he spent the entire night there. He was he was cheering him on, and actually at one point on the big screen, they did find him because they put him up on the big screen once or twice. He pretty much stays out of the limelight, though, when he's out watching his daughter. He doesn't try to create any attention or anything. So we got to be near the boss. I couldn't get a
good
picture.
You didn't paparazzi him and like, boss, over here, look here, and take pictures of him? Nothing.
He was in the secure section that our media passes wouldn't even get us through. So.
Oh, he was.
And I'm sure there were some bodyguards around, too.
You need those telephoto lenses from across the arena, and you can, like, super zoom in on his face. But, yeah, probably. Oh, I'm bummed you didn't get to talk to him, but that's so cool that you were just sitting right there with none other than Bruce Springsteen.
That's right. And his daughters are great. She's absolutely great. She is a good rider. You can tell she was also Metal McClay. She came up to the Metal McClay ranks. And you can tell the riders as they get older which ones came up through that training ground, because she was a very nice, quiet rider. You know, I know there were some people around us that said, you know, they were surprised. They were expecting her to be kind of a diva and, you know, barely ride and just doing this because she could buy her way into it. And that is not true at all.
No, I wouldn't have thought that. I mean, you got to work hard to be that good. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You still have to be good. Now, it helps, definitely, to have Bruce Springsteen's money when you're out shopping or paying for riding lessons or whatever. But you can afford the best, and then you will work really hard to be the best.
Well, I'll tell you, this came down to Nick Skelton was in second. And it came down to less than half a second to determine the winner. So it went right down to the wire. It was good.
No kidding.
It was a lot of
fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Good job.
Well, since we're doing the weekend roundup here, I've got a couple stories for you. First of all, real quick, letting you know that our friend, Mucho Macho Man, is making his comeback, baby.
Woohoo! Really?
Did you see that? So obviously,
yeah.
Because they ran him in the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, they wanted to give him some time off. And Dean Reeves, obviously his owner with his wife Kathy, said that, you know, if you take 2 months off, it takes 2 months to get him back. So he had 2 months off, and he's been training for 2 months, and he is going to run. This is a little surprising to me, but he's going to run in a $35,000 claiming race, but an allowance claiming race. So I think this is the kind of race that you can either choose to allow them to be claimed or not, because
okay.
it's the Sunshine Millions Classic at Santa Anita, obviously his home track. He won that one. I'm trying to find the name of the race that he's going. Oh, it's going to be at Aqueduct on November 9th, which is 2 days from now. Holy cow. $55,000 allowance optional claiming race is what it's going to be. So the horses that can enter this have never won more than four races, and they can have a claiming price of $35,000. So somebody, I don't know, can somebody claim him then? Or is it, when it says optional claiming, does that mean that, because, I mean, heck, that'd be a good investment, 35 grand for Mucho Macho Man.
Are you planning on making a trip on the ninth?
I know, right? Take out a loan? You'd make that much in stud pretty quick, I would imagine.
I don't know how that works.
I don't know. Well, you know what? On Wednesday, which is, I believe, the day of the race, I think we're going to try to get the MIG back on, and we'll make sure we ask him that question, because that's tough. How did you run him in a claiming race? Because he's Mucho Macho Man. The other story from the Breeders' Cup weekend is, do you remember the horse? Well, obviously, you remember the horse Drosselmeyer and Royal Delta both winning, and they're both trained by Bill Mott, who is a racehorse trainer. He also trained Courageous Cat, who got run off the track by Goldakova. So three horses. This guy should be on top of the world. Do you know what is happening to these horses in about a week?
Are these the ones that are going up at the sale here in Kentucky?
Well, Drosselmeyer, the horse that won the Classic, is retiring and going to stud. Royal Delta, who won, her owner actually died, and she is being sold, yes, as part of that estate dispersal. And Courageous Cat is being retired to stud. So this guy, Beaumont, goes to the Breeders' Cup with three horses, two winners, and leaves, and basically all of them are going to be gone. Doesn't that suck?
Wow. That's something else. I didn't realize. I didn't know the backstory to that.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah, there's that big estate sale because the guy had died. And so basically when they won and they went to, you know, they usually interview the owner after the race. They were like, well, we don't really have an owner. So because the guy wasn't there, clearly. So poor Bill Mott. Well, Breeders' Cup, two winners, three, you know, several horses in it, and they're all going to be gone in like a week. Doesn't that suck? I feel bad for him.
Well, Tamika was asking if we had an update on AU Minor, because if you remember right, on Saturday's Breeder Cup marathon race, AU Minor was one of the favorites and actually fractured his left front ankle as he was making the move on the final turn there. And the report is that he's in stable condition and scheduled to have surgery here about 2 miles from our house at Haggard Equine Hospital in Lexington here. The trainer said that AU Minor is... I love how they wrote this wrong. Let me read this sentence and see if this sounds backwards to you. Trainer Clark Hanna said, while AU Minor is a high risk to make it. Usually when you talk about high risk, you talk about them dying, not making it. It was worded all wrong. What he's trying to say, I think, is that there's a good shot the horse is going to make it. He will be given every opportunity to survive as long as the horse is not in prolonged pain. He said, we're all tore up. This is the best horse that we had in the barn. And, you know, they said that we keep asking ourselves if we could have done anything different, if we could have, you know, done anything different. And he says, no, the horse was doing well. He came out of the race, last race in good order. He was just, you know, he just was piddling with him during the week to keep him fresh. And it just is one of those things that happens. So he apparently is laying down a lot, which is good because he's taking care of the leg. He's eating. Everything is good that way. So they're hoping for a good outcome here at the horse hospital at Haggard here over the weekend. And if anybody can do this, Haggard can. They're set up and trained. You know, they're very good. So we wish the best to AU Minor's people, and hopefully AU Minor comes back. He probably will never race again, but hopefully he'll be able to lead a happy life anyway.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's really kind of it's that story when they're talking about whether the horse will actually live or not, you know.
Yeah, but I just didn't like how that was worded. It's a high risk to make it. It almost sounds like it's a bad thing if you make it.
No,
somebody ought to reread that one.
And, you know, also just interesting enough, talking about horses that got hurt over the weekend in the Breeders' Cup, do you remember the horse announced that was going? I believe it was the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, the $2 million one. It was on Friday. And after sitting there watching this horse announced, the jockey was French, and they had come a long way.
Remember the French jockey, yeah.
And this horse was... I mean, this jockey was amazing because this horse was bucking the entire way in the post parade. Apparently, European horses don't use ponies, so the jockeys ride them out by themselves. So he's riding this horse out by himself, and this horse is bucking, 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 bucking. Every step was a buck. This jock just sat there perfectly formed, like just letting it buck, kind of standing in the stirrups. I learned how to ride a buck that day by watching his jockey kind of stand in the stirrups and just take it. And then they had to turn around, and the horse, name announced, was coming back down and was running sideways, was so fractious, was crazy. The horse announced actually slammed into the horse ambulance that was parked on the track. So you've got the horse bucking, carrying on, drama, it hits the ambulance. All of a sudden, they scratch the horse. And the jockey was mad.
He was yelling.
He was furious. He was so pissed. I mean, this horse announced being scratched. They had traveled, I think, from France. So, I mean, it wasn't like... And to be scratched moments before a $2 million race. Well, if you remember last year, the horse Rock Hard 10, they said, hey, when they were getting interviewed the pre-race interview, the jockey was like, this horse doesn't feel good, doesn't feel like he's warming up like himself. And he ended up coming to last. They had to pull him up, and he had to retire after. It was a big mess. So we thought maybe they were being hypersensitive and scratching this horse Announce. Well, if you did not hear the follow-up story, Announce hit the ambulance so hard that she actually split part of her skin and had to go back to the barn and receive sutures. I mean, apparently it was a pretty severe laceration. So good on the track vets for scratching this horse that was clearly needed to be scratched. So that they did have to go back and put some sutures in it. I don't
know
how
severe it
was.
Can you imagine if they hadn't and the horse had run the race coming around the final turn and down towards the finish with blood all over his leg?
Oh, my God. It would have been so bad. It would have been so bad. So they did a good thing by pulling the horse. And, of course, the long shot Perfect Sherl ends up winning. Ends up winning that race. She went off at 27-1. So another long shot wins in the Breeders' Cup. And that never happens.
I know. It was the week. It was the year for them. That's for sure. Hey, we're running out of time here. But tomorrow I also want to talk to you about what your thoughts are on the Equus Foundation announced the 2011 America's Favorite Equestrians. Remember the thing I said that we've been voting on for the last 2 years, it seems like? And for all the different sports, they voted on America's Favorite Equestrian, and you could get on there and vote and help raise money for the Equus Foundation. Well, the winners have been announced. I think there's some surprises on the list I want to talk to you about tomorrow. That's really kind of surprised. So we'll go over that tomorrow, as well as we have more guests, lots more news, and more things to come. Don't forget to get your really bad ads in, because we have a great, great, terrific prize this week worth up to $160, the Fleece Works Seat Saver for English or Western. You know, send your ads in. You can send multiple ones in it, too. That's fine. Just make sure they're funny or ridiculous. We'll take either one. That's it, Jamie. We'll be back again tomorrow with another new show.
Well, thank you, Glenn, and thank you, listeners, and everybody for being so sweet about Riddy. And definitely thanks for the nice, warm wishes on Facebook. She will be missed, and I appreciate y'all sitting here listening to me vent a little bit about it. So thanks, boss. Thanks for letting me get that off my chest. Have a good day, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld.
All right. Well, see you at Peelers, everybody.